Amen. Amen, church. Do you love him this morning? Do you? You know, I go back to the song that they sang about God's grace. You know, and I get excited because I know God's grace covered me. There was a time in my life that I shouldn't be here right now. God's grace covered me. When I had a car accident and drove up underneath a semi-truck, God's grace covered me. When I was in places that I shouldn't have been, God's grace covered me. God's grace woke you up this morning. God's grace gave you the ability to walk out of your house and come into the church. God's grace gave you the right mind this morning to even get dressed and say, I want to go worship my Lord and Savior. Amen. God's grace gave you the opportunity to be born in a place that you have the freedom to worship our Lord and Savior without having to worry about what's going to happen whenever you do so. You can call on the name of Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I need you. Don't nobody else know why I need you, but I need you. And ain't nobody going to stand in your way. Ain't nobody going to kill you because you've done it. Ain't nobody going to persecute you. It's God's grace this morning that has us where we are today. Amen. I get excited when I think about God's grace. I'm not going to apologize for it either because you don't know my story. You don't know what I walked through to get where I'm at today. You don't know the journey I travel. We talked about it this morning. You can't stand in my footprints. Jesus. Jesus brought me where I'm at today. Jesus gave me what I have today. And you can't put a price tag on what he gave me. It's enough for me to celebrate. Jesus. There is a word from the Lord this morning. And if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus. Jesus. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to be looking at chapter 13 for a little bit here. But verses 1, 2, and 3. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him. So that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you right now, Lord, that your spirit rain down in this place, Lord. Lord, that what is heard coming out of my mouth today be the voice of you, Lord, and not me. Lord, that the people see you, hear you, embrace you, Lord, and take your word and embed it in the hearts of the minds of the people that are here today, Lord. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about a farmer for just a minute. I know a lot of you probably have been in or around or seen some kind of farming culture in your life. So a farmer's life is centered around what I want to call a survival package. This survival package is called a seed. It's this little kernel that's dried up. It looks dead. It doesn't look like it would amount to anything. It's solid. It's hard. But it houses a raw material that holds the key to life. See, a farmer's going to go out, and back in the olden days, before we got to where we're at now, where we have all this high technology, the farmers would go out across the fields, and they would just scatter the seed and let it fall wherever it would fall. It didn't matter. They didn't make a decision, I'm going to let it fall here. They didn't decide which part of the soil was worthy enough to receive the seed. They just seeded it because they knew that at some point, something was going to grow. May not all of it, but something was going to grow. But see, what's so interesting is this little bitty seed inside of this dried up, mount to nothing kernel housed everything that that plant is going to need for it to be able to grow. Okay? So if the right conditions are met, the survival package will bust open and a new life will begin to emerge up out of this kernel. But what I want you to realize, though, is even while it's beginning to emerge this new life out of it, it's still in a dark place. It's still in the soil. It's still under the ground. It still has to push through the dark place before before it can even come up and see the sun. Okay? It still has some work to do. But all the while, it's still growing. You may not be able to see what's growing on the outside of the next person, but they're growing on the inside. And it's not meant for us to see, because God's the one that sees, because God's doing the work. Okay? So not all seeds planted will even fall into the right circumstance and grow. Okay? And this is what Jesus was teaching in this parable today. And so... So Jesus is teaching the people. Now in the beginning of this, you know, you talk about Jesus, he got in a boat. I told my husband this morning, I said he got in the boat so he could float. He had to float. But if you think about it, when you're in conversation with people and you're amongst a couple people, you're standing right there in a group, only the people that you're talking to in that little group are hearing what you're saying. But if you step back and you step out away from everybody, then everybody's going to stop and listen because they hear something being said. So he got in the boat so he could leave the shore so he could talk to everybody and the word of God could be spread out amongst everybody, so this seed could be thrown, it could be scattered, and let it fall where it falls, because where it falls is going to happen, okay? So he's teaching the people about the types of soil that the seeds can fall into. And these types of soil are soils of our heart that we all fall victim to. And it's a choice that we make. But we have to be able to identify what type of soil we have. What kind of soil do we live up under? So the first type of soil that the farmer is sowing into is by the edge of the road. And I like to call this faith blind soil. Okay, the seed falls in the heart of man, but he doesn't understand the word of God. And the enemy comes up and he steals the seed away. See, these kind of faith blind people, they come to be seen. They don't want to see what's going on. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to receive the word of God. It's a show for them. It's just, they're just there to be there. The heart is blind to the word, and they cannot see its true purpose that is being received. There is no preparation for them to receive the word of God. There is no layer of protection for the word of God. They are just there in a blind state of mind. See, your faith is what you believe in. And whenever you're blind to this belief, you can't receive what God has for you. So now you fall victim to being a faith blind type of soil. So then we have a second type of heart that the seed falls victim to, and this is called faith rocky. It falls into rocky soil. Their faith is rocky. They hear the word, but it does not allow the word to take root into their life. And see, if you have no root base in your life, it don't matter what kind of growth you have, then something's going to come along and it's going to rip it right down. You may have some root base, a little bit, but let the wind come along. See, I've seen some roots grow because there's a lot of moisture and there's a lot of water in between some rocks. You know, you go down the riverfront, but you let the wind come along and it's going to tear it right down because it can't withstand, because there's no root base. So whenever your faith rocky, you ain't got enough root base to withstand what the world has for you. So when we get to our third type of soil, these people are my rebels. It's my faith rebels. They hear the word, but they become overcome by the fleshly desires of the world. See, they have the potential to be good soil, but they allow the world, because they have these desires that they want to be a part of. We want to stay and go to the brick house on Saturday night and not read our Bible and prepare for Sunday morning service. We want to get on Facebook and we want to talk about folks and pretend that we're something we're not, instead of preparing our hearts to receive the word of God. We want to sit and gossip. We want to lie. We want to cheat. We want to come out of somebody else's bedroom. We want to come out of somebody else's house. But these are all the real big things. But what about that heart that don't care about your neighbor? Your next door neighbor that's hungry and you haven't even bothered to go take them a loaf of bread, and you got two. of the thorns that are in our life. We've got the potential to be the fulfilling Christian that God intended us to be. But we allow the thorns of life to come in and take over. And then the seed dies out. Then we have the good soil. Those are our faithful. They are full. They hear the word. They accept the word of God. Their root system has been activated by the word of God. Growth is happening. Fruit is being produced. And they are faithful to God's word. See, we have to grow in order to sow. See, God created us to be growers and sowers. See, the church now, God gave a mandate to the disciples. He told them, he said, go thee therefore and teach all nations, make disciples. So we are supposed to grow so we can replant the seed and become sowers so that seed can grow and become a grower. And now they can plant another seed. We ain't supposed to just sit within the confines of a building and just pretend that we are in existence of something. We are supposed to emerge out and go plant some more, to plant some more seeds. You know, whenever I go back to Genesis for just a minute, I'm fixing to take y'all somewhere. God told Adam and Eve whenever they left the garden, be fruitful and multiply. God didn't tell them to go have a whole bunch of babies that didn't amount to nothing. God said, go spread the word of God. God said, go spread the word of God. Be fruitful, produce some godly fruit, and spread the word of God. Go teach. Go teach who I am. Go show who I am. Galatians 5 and 22, it outlines to us what the fruit of the Spirit is and what we are to become whenever we have the fruit of the Spirit living within us. And in order to be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit, we have to receive the Word of God. We have to accept the Word of God. And we have to submit to the Word of God. You can't have one without the other. You can't receive it and forget about submitting to it. You can't accept it and forget about submitting to it. We can hear it all day long, but if we are not willing to submit to what God's mandate is on our life, then we will never produce the fruit that God has mandated for our life. So we have to ask ourselves, are we faith blind? Are we going to die out because we are so blindsided to what the word is that we can't see it? We have blinders on. We have a shade pulled up in front of us between us and God. Or are we faith rocky? Is there no place for our roots to grow? We have put limitations on who God is and what God is, what he can do in our life. Or are we a faith rebel that we cannot let go of the worldly pleasures? They have consumed us so much that we cannot let go of the worldly pleasures to embrace God into our life. Or are we faithful? Will we embrace and nurture what God has for us? The choice is yours, but it is time for us to make a choice. We have to self-evaluate what kind of soil our heart is and make the proper adjustments that needed to be made so that we have the good soil that the seed can fall upon and that we too can grow, produce the fruit that can go out and make other disciples. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you.